cooperation to adhere to the new guidelines with regards to the conduct of the meeting. Everyone should ensure their mobile phones are turned off or switched to silent, and the use of mobile devices for recording is not permitted. Members of the public should not speak during the meeting and may be temporarily excluded for discussion of in-committee items. Members of the public and press must refrain from using the instant messaging facility during the meeting, and anyone found to be doing so will be given a warning. Failing to adhere to the guidelines for a second time will result in being removed from the meeting. I would remind members of their obligations under the Council's Code of Conduct to declare any financial or significant non-financial interests which they have in any item of business before the committee today. If you have such an interest, please either declare it now or immediately before the item itself, stating the item of business that relates to. Having declared an interest, members should leave the meeting by hanging up from the call for the duration of the discussion on that item and should not take part in the vote. You will then be invited back in to join the meeting once the discussion on that item has ended. The proceedings of the meeting will be audio and video recorded, except where Council is considering any exempt matters. The recording equipment is linked to the microphone system on the computer, so please ensure your microphone is switched on before speaking. Members are reminded they are personally responsible for any comments they make at the meeting. Please ensure, if you wish to speak on an item, you use instant messaging facility to indicate your wish to speak, and I will bring members in as listed. At this stage, you unmute your microphone to speak or click the button on the delegate microphone if you're physically in the meeting room. Members should ensure their cameras are switched on when speaking, and cameras should also be switched on when a vote is being taken. I would remind members to keep their instant messages to the following letters. Q if you wish to ask a question, P to propose, and S to second. Please refrain from making any other comments using instant messaging. Following the presentation of the officer's report, the chairperson will call for a proposer and seconder, and this should be done using the instant messenger feature. Please do not submit these until asked to do so, as it could be missed. If two members ask to propose, the first member having indicated through instant messenger will become the proposer, and the second member having indicated will become the seconder. The chairperson will then ask the proposer and seconder in turn to unmute to indicate vocally their proposing and seconding the decision. If you need to leave the meeting early, please indicate via the messenger feature so we're aware that this is an active decision and does not indicate any connectivity problems. Okay, so do we have any apologies this evening?
Yes, Chair. We have apologies from Councillors Brown, Gallagher, Savage and Taylor.
Okay, thank you, Sarah. Any declarations of interest? No, nothing. Okay. Now, moving on to item 4 on the agenda, the notice of motion regarding contactless payment solutions.
Sorry, Chair, just the action sheet item.
Oh, sorry, beg your pardon. Sorry, we'll go to the action sheet then first. So, we're just going to go through it page by page for accuracy. Page 1, page 2, page 3, and page 4, and any matters arising, and a proposer and seconder, please. Proposed by Councillor Murphy and seconded by Councillor McGuinness. Thank you. Okay, no matters arising there. So for item 4, as I was saying, Councillor Brown's not in attendance this evening, so he's asked that it's deferred on to January meeting, so we'll not be discussing it this evening. Okay, so we'll go on to item 5, which is notice of motion regarding revenue targets from renewables. We'll go over to Gerard Byrne.
Thank you, Chair. So members, this notice of motion was put forward by Councillor Enright and was referred from the November Council meeting. So the notice of motion wants Council to formally adopt revenue targets from renewable energies. There's a number of targets. So for the 22 year, 1 million per annum, the 25 year, 5 million per annum, and for 2030 onwards, 10 million per annum. So if you go to section 2.1, a sustainability proposals update was brought to a strategic finance working group on the 2nd of July this year at the request of Councillor Enright, and this has been attached at Appendix 2. So there was 10 proposals within the paper to increase the rate base for Council, and a few of the key proposals for generating income were solar farms to be used on unused Council land, expanding rates and income through energy storage, and setting a target for rates on wind farms within the council. So these proposals and others are currently under consideration by the Sustainability and Climate Change Forum, and council approval has also been granted to carry out feasibility studies for proposals 1 and 2 above. However, the proposals above will have to go through several processes such as planning applications, internal council governance processes, and also numerous consultations prior to an income stream being realised. And as no new revenue streams have been confirmed, council cannot include proposed income within the current estimates this year. So the estimates for 2023 are already well underway, and a draft was brought to the Strategic Finance Working Group just this week. So it is recommended that council continue to follow avenues for increasing revenue from renewables. The Sustainability and Climate Change Forum will lead in all proposals and will report progress through the AHC committee. So once the funding stream has been agreed, the revenue can then be factored into the council estimates process going forward. So happy to take any questions, Chair.
Thank you, Gerard. Councillor Tinley, Gerard, I'll take Cadogan in first. He's in the chamber here. He's just indicated ahead of you.
Good, Bernard, thank you.
Thanks, Chairperson. Do I read my motion? So I know that. Also, do I get to talk to my motion?
You don't need to read it, Councillor Enright, but you can certainly speak to it.
All right. I know that in talking to you before this meeting, I did make it clear that the management appear to have taken a notion that I wanted to build these targets into the rates estimates. Now, nothing could have been further from the truth. What I was trying to do is to get an indicative target for management themselves over the next few years to investigate a range of 13 or 14 different ways of raising income. So to clarify that, I actually did, I've got we discussed this beforehand about how I could amend this motion in order to come more into line and make it clearer what it was I was trying to achieve. Should I read the motion and the amendment before speaking to it?
If you just maybe let us know what your amendment is, and then we can go back to the officers to see, how we can...
Well, I'm suggesting that we add on to the motion that council officials will seek revenue sources and savings and come back to SPNR in April of 22. With more flesh on the above aspirational targets, with a view to long-term planning and action for consideration by SPNR in this area.
Okay, go back over to Jared. No, okay, that's grand. Could I maybe email that over to Democratic Services?
Yeah. I will.
Perfect. Okay. Councillor Tinley.
Yeah, thank you, Chairperson. No, I wasn't aware that Cadogan was in the chamber. So my original question was as to whether Gerard had explained all this to Cadogan prior to this evening, but I'm now content that that is the case. So we'll see what Cadogan's not making a proposal here at the minute, Chair, to see what Cadogan's actual amendment is, and just make sure the officers are happy enough for that, because I do understand it's very, very difficult for officers to commit to hard and fast figures when we're not at that sort of stage yet where that can be assigned. But I do, having said all that, I do constantly pick up the frustration of Cadogan that he feels that we as a corporate body seem to be lagging behind on all our councillors and all our local authorities on the island, and probably we always get till a certain point or to the point eventually, but we just don't get there as quickly as some elected members would like us to and public opinion would like us to, and I think sometimes that's where the exasperation from Councillor Enright comes from. But get a wee look at the motion here and or the amendment, and we'll see where we're going with it. Thank you, Chair.
No problem, Jarvis. Councillor Moore.
Well, I'm certainly happy to second Cadogan's proposal, and I know he's going to put the amendment around on that, but certainly I jotted down the aspirational targets and coming back in April and regularly after that, I think SPNR is the correct committee, you know, to come back with these targets and to see how we're making savings and to see how this is progressing. So, yeah, no, fair play to Cadogan, and more than happy to second how I understand the amendment to be going.
Okay. Yes, Cadogan.
Just a note, at the meeting where I read out the motion in full council, I didn't have the opportunity to speak to the motion, and I still value. And I know we've had a reply from council on my proposal, but mm-hmm. I still haven't had a chance to speak to the motion.
Okay. Have you forwarded round your amendment, and then so you could speak to your motion while everybody's having a chance to read it?
All right. The committee clerk is typing it up.
Yeah, if you go ahead and read out with the amendment, and then you can speak to it, then Cadogan, and we'll wait on the email come through as well for Jarla. Content with that, yeah?
Yes, could I read the amendments over with the committee clerk? Could I, yeah? could I talk to the motion? And
top of your head, you don't need to write it down.
Yeah. I'll talk to the motion and then we'll read it out at the end. How's that?
Okay.
Yeah? Well, I think what's important in this motion is that we have many different ways of reducing our costs or raising monies. We're not limited to one area. And we don't have to reinvent any wheels because councils are doing this already all over Britain and Ireland. I mean, those of us who were in the Glevy Hotel just before COVID would have seen a few ideas. We could, for instance, copy Dundee Council and use our 180 council car parks to create a new revenue source via EV charging points for our council. We could copy West Suffolk and have council commission its own renewable energy farms to drive down costs. Now, I know that my suggestion that we use our redundant land seems to have been picked up by council officials, and they are investigating the use of redundant land and using PV panels on that. And I know I've introduced council officials to at least one energy firm who'd be prepared to pay us a fixed cost for energy produced from our own farms. And additionally, we're not restricted to our own land. We could do what West Suffolk did. We could actually go to sheep farmers and ask to rent their land anywhere in our council area, which is what West Suffolk are doing to drive down their rates. We could copy Cork City Council, who are getting themselves basically a free vehicle fleet by converting what they spend on diesel into long-term leases for electric vans for Cork Council. We could copy Ipswich, Cambridge or Sheffield councils, all of whom have adopted the latest NEDZEB building regulations ahead of the government adopting it for the country as a whole in order to increase the rateable value of houses in their area. We could stop building council buildings based on gas and mains electricity. We could do what they're doing in the Republic. And having only heat source heat pumps and with significant amounts of renewable energy in our new public buildings. We could reinstate our energy efficiency officer and give him or her more powers with job role aimed at saving money for the council by decarbonising our council fleet, our buildings and frontline services. When the energy efficiency programme effectively stopped 2 years ago, it was up to £115,000 per annum paying for the wage of the energy officer at least three times over. If this job was made a more senior role, we could expect over 5 years to expect the annual savings to amount to anything up to £1 million a year from this area alone. We could copy the Scottish Government and get funding from central government for a programme to retrofit buildings in our area, and effectively get most of our building control team being paid for by central government for at least 10 years. We could copy Nottingham Council and use car park awnings and awnings over our walkways in leisure centres to pay for the huge cost of heating and lighting our leisure centres. We could copy Donegal, Clare or Kerry councils and have up to 20% of our rates from renewable energy. We could copy Fermanagh Council with 9% of its rates from renewable energy. We could copy Warrington Borough Council, who in 2017 became the first local authority in the UK to produce all its own electricity from green energy from two giant renewable energy farms that weren't even in its council area. One was in York and one was in Hull. We could copy Bristol City Council, who published in 2018 their City Leap prospectus aimed at delivering £1 billion worth of investment in the Bristol City area around a new electrified economy. And a clear and easy way to raise long-term finance would be to redraft our area plan for 2030 to reflect a climate change emergency, because every single action we could take under this would either decrease our costs or increase our revenues. If climate change may be a disaster for the population of the world as a whole, but in terms of council finances, it's got a silver lining. There is very little that we can do to mitigate the impact of climate change that won't have a beneficial financial effect on our council. There are many ways in which management can deliver savings and additional revenues for council. We can't set targets for each area, but we could set overall targets, aspirational targets, in the way we discussed in this particular motion. We could be specific about, say, for instance, the number of charging points per car park. But in an area like this, having a general target covering all these revenue savings and revenue raising areas is very legitimate, because you can't tackle all these issues at one time. So in the motion tonight, I set an aspirational target for management to look at and come back to us in April of next year to start the process of preparing for climate change in our area. Thanks, Chair. Do you want me to read out the motion now?
If you want to. I think you've given us a really good overview there and a lot of really good suggestions for management. But
will I get a three-minute summary at the end?
Yeah, I'm going to take Jarlath back in just to make sure he's content, because he wanted to look at the amendment.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, happy enough, Jarlath, yeah.
Sure, person, but my only concern would be...
Sorry, somebody has their speaker on in the chamber, sounds like.
You all right there now?
Yeah, it seems to be okay now, yeah.
Una, my only concern is that 2022 target of 1 million, you know, we're literally days out here from the start of the new year. So is that realistically achievable and attainable, or is the 2025 target of 5 million? Personally speaking, I would have thought that is more likely, because it allows that intervening sort of spade work to be done. So I just like Cadogan's views on that. But no, I'm more than content with the amendment there, and I'm happy to propose.
Chairperson, to clarify, I'm talking about 22-23, and there are at least half a dozen ways in which we could meet that target. But I'll clarify that in the 3 minutes at the end.
Yeah, I think my understanding of it is, just to clarify, because there does seem to be a bit of confusion around it, is, you know, this is for the officers to go away and bring back a tangible paper with those potential targets and how we could reach them. But to keep the spirit of the motion and the paper within SPNR rather than to send it to AHC, which is what Councillor Enright had wanted. So it's not necessarily that we will hit those targets, because they're not targets. It's just aspirational that the council will try their best to get to that, those type of figures. Am I right in saying that, Councillor Enright? Yeah, we're getting a nod here in the chamber. So does that answer the question, Councillor Tinley?
Yes, Una, that's a lot there. Thanks for that.
Okay. Okay, no problem. So if you want to sum up then, Councillor Enright, I don't think anybody else was looking in.
Thanks, Chairperson. Well, during the summer, I posted out this summary of rates income for councils across Northern Ireland. And I'm currently doing the same thing for all councils in Scotland and all councils in the Republic of Ireland by way of comparison. Now, I've nearly finished the Republic, and the lowest level of rates is in County Louth at 1,470,000. Many of the councils in the Republic are getting very large amounts of money and very significant portions of their rates. Now, obviously, the Republic started this 10 or 15 years before we did, so they're much further ahead in terms of renewable energy and income. But what's significant about this particular document that I posted you out was that only 14% of rates in Northern Ireland, only 14% of energy in Northern Ireland comes from renewable. But those renewables give us 20 million a year in rates spread across the 11 councils. Whereas 86% of our energy is imported fossil fuel burnt in the three power stations in Antrim in Derry. And they're only giving rates of about 6 million a year. So if you extrapolate what a zero carbon Northern Ireland will look like, because renewable energy has to be based in your local area, it can't be imported long distance. We're going to be looking at £140 million worth of rates in 10 or 15 years' time spread over the 11 councils. And this will only increase with the electrification of transport and only increase with the electrification of heat and hot water, which is also going to come after the electrification of transport according to government targets. So we're seriously looking at potentially sharing with other councils in Northern Ireland £200 million per year in rates income. So now, if we were to sit in our hands, I'd say the targets I'm proposing would probably be met. And I've set targets fairly low. But if we were to push out the boat, if we were to plan effectively, if we were to do what Donegal did or what Fermanagh did, we could see within 10 years, we could see income streams of maybe 15, 20 million pounds a year coming to our council, which at that stage wouldn't be exceptional. It wouldn't be unusual for any council, not just in Northern Ireland, but anywhere around the United Kingdom and Ireland. So by starting to plan, by starting to prepare now, by putting the infrastructure we need within management to think about how we can maximise our income, in 5 or 10 years' time, when that £200 million worth of rates becomes available, more of it will come to us, and more importantly, the jobs that support it will come to us. And then because the Department of the Economy have estimated 150,000 jobs will follow the electrification of the economy. And 150,000 jobs spread amongst 11 councils is fine, but if we take the lead, we could actually reap the rewards in terms of good employment for our young people in the future. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Enright. Very comprehensive information there for the officers to take on board. I suppose I think that they would all go and look at best practices across the islands just to make sure that we're, we can take the lead on this going forward. So thanks very much for your motion. So it was proposed by Councillor
Tenley.
Councillor Tenley and seconded by Councillor O'Mara.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Okay, so we'll move on to item 6 on the agenda, which is Performance Improvement Audit and Assessment 2020-21. Ms. Dorina.
Thank you, Chair. So, members, the purpose of this paper tonight is to present to you the Northern Ireland Audit Office audit of your performance improvement plan for the 2021 year. You will see at 2.2 that the local government auditor has certified that we have discharged our duties under the Act, and furthermore, she is proposing an unqualified audit opinion with no statutory recommendations or proposals for improvement. So that's a clean audit opinion coming from the auditor. So we are asking for a proposer and seconder tonight to accept that, and we will then move to publish that on our website.
Thank you, Dorina. And it's proposed by Councillor Byrne, seconded by Councillor Murphy. Okay, happy to No questions, thank you. So item 7 is the draft Newry Morning Down District Council Retention and Disposal Schedule, and it's Adele that's taken this item.
Thank you, Chair. Before I move to the report, on behalf of the compliance team, we just want to pass on our Christmas wishes to the committee and thank council staff for the work involved and councillors on the COVID-19 employee appreciation item in October's meeting. Moving to the report, I won't repeat the content, but for anyone who may be new to this area of work, the retention and disposal schedule explains how long council will retain its records and whether they will be permanently retained, destroyed or transferred to the Public Records Office, also known as PRONI. Just to delve into this realm a little further, some may have a view that records management can be seen as a dry and dusty topic about systems, how they are developed, maintained and accessed. For one of our regulators, the ICO, the Director of FOI Complaints and Compliance, Jill Bull, believes the records management process is about people, and rather than being just about the past, it is as much about the future. I am pleased to advise members that the schedule is aligned to our wider information strategy programme of work, which I updated you on in March's meeting. Section 8 of the report provides a link to the committee minute. An early 20th century archivist, Arthur Doughty, said, "Of all national assets, archives are the most precious. They are the gifts of one generation to another. When all personal touch with that period has ceased, then these records assume a startling importance, for they replace hands that have vanished and lips that are sealed." With that expectation in mind and the statutory obligations, as you can imagine, Chair, the process determining council records retention periods isn't a simple one. Coupled with your disposition, whether you're the sentimental kind or a minimalist, it can lead to all sorts of conundrums. Thankfully, we have a records management team and various information asset owners, some council officers present here this evening, who act as council's guardians for this valuable asset. We developed the schedule in two parts at Section 7, the practical intro guide followed by the rules. With support from Doreena, Ali, the senior management and corporate management team, we work with staff across the council to determine a new draft retention disposal schedule. The only admission I highlight in the schedule is the column titled reference. These cells will be populated with file referencing in due course. By way of further assurance, the draft presented to you has been approved by PRONI, and I am pleased to advise we are the first council to produce a new draft retention disposal schedule in recent times. I would therefore encourage the committee to consider and approve the draft retention disposal schedule. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Adele. Anybody, any questions for Adele? If we could have a proposer and seconder for a paper. Proposed by Councillor Howell and seconded by Councillor Byrne. And Pete, you want to come in with a comment?
Yeah, just a brief comment, Adele, just what you were saying there. I'm going
I can't really hear you, Pete.
Yeah. The microphone was in the crown of my head. Yeah, just a wee smile when you talked about the records and looking back when that period of time has passed, because I'm actually just going through over the last number of weeks, two centuries of documents from Cross and Down Rural Council staff, and it's absolutely fascinating, but seeing you can't get your hands on them, it is a bloody nightmare, and this is for a family tree. So going through old council records, I find it completely fascinating. So it's right and proper that we have a good policy in place, and the fact that the template reflects the one created by PRONI is right and proper, but the Waterforce Council to bring it in is also apt. But yeah, happy to second.
Thank you. Okay, so if we're content then we'll move on. Okay, so I need a proposer and seconder to go into closed session. So items 8 to 19 are deemed to be exempt under paragraph 3 of part 1 and of Schedule 6 of the Local Government Act 2014. Information relating to the financial or business affairs of any particular person, including the council holding that information and the public, may by resolution be excluded during this item of business. And we have a proposer from Councillor Howell and seconded by Councillor McGuinness to go into closed session. Yeah, okay. Okay, so it was in committee. The following items were agreed for decision. Item 8, extension of the lease with Northern Ireland Fire and Rescue Service, Downchurch Civic Centre. On the proposal of Councillor O'Mara and seconded by Councillor Sharvin, it was agreed that the elected members approve the extension of the fire service current lease of office accommodation in the Downchurch Civic Centre, Downpatrick, for the term of 2 years, from the 1st of August 22 until the 31st of July 24. With an option of third year following this on the same terms, but subject to the review of current rental by council's valuer. We had agreed to get the valuation and bring it back to committee for approval. Item 9 is the proposed renewal of a licence of lands at Castle Park, Newcastle, to the National Westminster Bank for a mobile bank unit. On the proposal of Councillor Howell, seconded by Councillor McGuinness, it was agreed that elected members approved to grant the licence to the National Westminster Bank to operate a mobile banking unit at Castle Park each Thursday from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. for a 2 year period from the 27th of February 2021, subject to a yearly licence fee to be determined by the Council's valuer and payment of the cost of the valuation report. Item 10 was reprofiling the underspend within Council's Irish Language Bursary Scheme. On the proposal of Councillor O'Mara and seconded by Councillor Murphy, it was agreed that elected members approved to proceed to reprofile the underspend with the Irish Language Bursary Scheme 2021-22 to implement projects 1 to 5 as set out within section 1.3 of the officer's report. Item 11 is Castlebaum Forest Park. On the proposal of Councillor Sharvin, seconded by Councillor Howell, it was agreed that elected members approved the staff structure and associated costs for the Castlebaum Forest Park, as outlined in the officer's report. Item 12, Camlagh Lake Recreational Hub outline business case. On the proposal of Councillor Byrne, seconded by Councillor McGuinness, it was agreed that the elected members approved the following recommendations: to approve a budget allocation on the Council's capital programme as the preferred option recommended in the business case as outlined in section 4.1 of the officer's report, to approve the procurement and appointment of integrated consultancy team to progress the project, progress necessary land matters to facilitate delivering the option approved, and officers to investigate and seek appropriate external funding for the project. Item 13, surplus assets. On the proposal of Councillor Sharvin, seconded by Councillor Murphy, it was agreed that elected members note the content of the report and the attached Appendix A surplus asset overview and approve the following recommendations. At 3.1, the refuse disposal site at Crowray Quarry, Glenville Road. Recommendation to accept retaining the lagoons and control room at this time and make an adjustment from the previously agreed sales price as detailed in the officer's report to reflect the area retained. 3.25 Ballynor Road, Downpatrick, former site of the Colloch Road Community Centre. Recommendation to remove the asset from the disposal list to allow Active Healthy Community Committee to invite expression of interest under the Sports and Community Facility Land Leasing Policy. 3.3 Lismore Park Playing Fields, Cross McGlen. The recommendation to remove the asset from the disposal list to allow Active Healthy Communities to invite expressions of interest under the Sports and Community Facility Land Leasing Policy. Lands at Mourne Espeland, Kilkeel. Recommendation to accept the offer dated the 6th of October 2021, detailed in the officer's report, and proceed to sale agreed. The Clock Recreation Area, Shrigley, recommendation to proceed to the D1 process with the boundary unaltered and arrange for further discussions between Sir Hans Sloan Centre and the neighbouring landowner. 3.6, former playing fields at Derrylackey, Newry, recommendation to remove the asset from the disposal list and proceed with the application from Newry Rugby Club to progress to stage 2 of the community asset transfer. So item 14 was terms and conditions. On the proposal of Councillor O'Mara, seconded by Councillor McGuinness, it was agreed that elected members note the progress on the work plan as set out in Appendix 1 of the officer's report, that members note that the JTUS issues a letter of dispute to their members on the 17th of November 2021, and that members support the continued release of employees supporting the programme of work, the costs of which are detailed in the officer's report. Item 15, redundancy approval. On the proposal of Councillor O'Mara, seconded by Councillor Howell, it was agreed that elected members approved the redundancy package for the affected employee on or before the 6th of April 2022 as detailed in the report. Items 16 to 19 were for Noton, and they were proposed by Councillor O'Meara and seconded by Councillor Howell. Item 16, Uri Leisure Centre, Phase 1 and Phase 2, retention and final accounts. It was agreed elected members note the release of the retention monies contractually due to the contractor as detailed in the report. Item 17, Treasury Management Mid-Year Report 2021-22. It was agreed elected members note the content of the report. Item 18, Strategic Finance Working Group Action Sheet, 25th of November 2021. It was agreed to note the Strategic Finance Working Group Action Sheet of the 1st of October. And item 19, Voluntary Redundancy Call. It was agreed that elected members note the content of the report. Okay, so items 20 to 22 are for noting. Any matters arising from item 20? 21 and 22. Councillor Byrne.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. My comments are on item 20, but probably spill over into item 21. Two large decisions or documents at the end for noting that is a great investment into this district that we've been discussing for since I've been on council from 2016, sitting on the city deal, and I think it's absolutely brilliant. This week we sign off on the deal document, obviously waiting for the British government to sign off on their end of the $350 million, and that takes in excess of $1 billion into the district, of which we've heard time and time again through the council, and this is keeping this positive, that Newry Mona Down Council have been punching above their weight in terms of what we get out of that, and that's going across all the pillars, whether we're talking about innovation, digital, the TNR programme, the tourism and regeneration programme, the infrastructure programme, or the employability and skills and the city deal. I mean, the two big projects that we have in the tourism and regeneration programmes getting to go ahead in this deal document. We'll have a big project in the Southern Relief Road and the infrastructure one, and then obviously drawing down the $6 million that's in this and the complementary fund for the digital. And on top of that, the $16.22 million or $16.23 million. So I teach my students to round up in maths, I've got to do it myself. From the complementary fund. I mean, it's absolutely amazing. But the one point that I do want to make on this, and I also want to make a proposal as well, the point I want to make on this is for about 18 months, I mean, we've had some heated conversations in the chamber where it was the city deal being bashed and bashed and bashed. It felt as if we were putting in too much money for what we were getting out of it. We see a return of $150 million plus into our district that will propel our district for the next decade. And not only do we retain our city deal projects, which was quite tough at times in the regeneration projects, but the city deal in itself, which was attempted to be collapsed by certain councillors wanting to collapse the city deal to move money across and put it on the back of the ratepayers. The city deal has been retained, but itself, the city deal has turned, in the most ironic way, delivered the park. So the park can't be delivered through a complementary fund unless you've got a project in the city deal to complement. And that's what we are trying to shout from the rooftops through for straight in 18 months was, you know, stick with this regeneration. There was an application made. We had discussions back in May on the complementary fund. There are other funds that we've been discussing through the NCCR project as well. I know Councillor Murray had brought up a number of funds that we must look at, Shared Island Fund and that. But to try and get as much investment off the back of the ratepayer, and it ended up with getting this across the line on the two documents that we're noting here tonight is Newry Mona Down having their cake and eating it. The next thing we need to do is drive forward and deliver on all these projects. And yes, obviously, there has to be thanks going to the Minister as well for Finance for signing off on the $16.22 million because politically, obviously, it would be a nightmare not to sign off on any of it. But to sign off on that large sum has to be commended as well. So hopefully going forward, everybody can work together on this really, really positive news. But just to note the absolute irony that the city deal itself delivers the park when we tried for 18 months to try and pull down the city deal. One proposal I do want to make is I do want to question maybe even writing back to DFC and the Department of Finance on the timeline on what we can get delivered in the first 4 years, and especially the early years. But that will all hinge on the profile. And in the notes here, it talks about based on the profile provided. Can I ask that profile is brought to the NCCR group, and we put it on the agenda, and we've discussed through that, so we're across all the detail of this, and then we can converse back and forth with the departments to see if we can try and move a few hurdles to get work going on the ground. But yeah, I just want to welcome the paper. Brilliant for this district. Thanks, Joe.
Thank you, Pete. Councillor Murphy?
Yeah, similar sentiments, and, you know, I do agree that we should, you know, try and seek a time frame, you know, for these projects, you know, from both the Department for Finance and Department for Communities. But Fairly simple, or briefly, I'd just like to commend everyone, council officials and councillors, who made a positive contribution to this application. No fair play to everybody. Working together as a body with external funders, community groups and with stakeholders is, I believe, the best way forward. This is a formula that has worked, you know, for other projects in our districts, Durham-Moore Woods being one of them. So Sinn Féin will continue to support the full package for the regeneration of Newry City, and in confidence that with the support of all the parties, we can bring these projects to fruition. You know, so Sinn out.
Thanks, Declan. So can we take that forward? Do we need a seconder for Pete's proposal?
Yeah, it's a second.
Yeah, happy to second that, Declan, then. Yeah, okay. And we're able to go ahead with that? Yeah, okay. So it doesn't look like anybody else is looking to come in, so we'll wrap up the meeting this evening. Yeah, okay, I just want to wish us all a happy Christmas. Hopefully you'll get a wee bit of a break. I'm hoping to get one anyway, and that Santa's good to everybody. So good evening, everybody.
Thanks, Chair.
Thank you.